And turn to the book of Revelation, chapter number 12, Revelation 12. If you need the outline, lesson number 24 is where we are. If you need that, raise your hand, please. Lesson 24. We are in the section covering Revelation chapters 12 and 13 that I've entitled The Appearance of Seven Key Characters. And this is, in case you're wondering, section number 5 that we've covered thus far. And then the title specifically of this lesson is The Adversity of the Woman. Of course, the seven characters are the woman, the dragon, the child, Michael, the remnant, the beast from the sea, and the beast from the earth. And so these are the seven key characters. Again, let's understand that in Revelation, you can't necessarily draw out a timeline for everything. And starting with chapter 1, say, okay, this is the beginning of the tribulation, and this is in the first. You can't do that. There are things are mentioned throughout the book of Revelation that will take place during that seven-year period. And of course, and ultimately the millennium, and then the end. So again, you can't just say, okay, here's definitely this happens here, this happens here. That you can speculate some things, and you can see many things that do happen. We do have the middle of the tribulation. We have 3.5 years. We have that division. Unfortunately, though, a couple times that's mentioned, it doesn't say which half of that it is. And we have our ideas, our thoughts. It's kind of like the two witnesses we just finished talking about. You know, everybody has their opinions, their ideas of who that is and timelines and all that. But if the Bible doesn't say, then all we can do is speculate. And but we do know these characters are very key in the book of Revelation, and they are mentioned in chapters 12 and 13. So that is where we are, and that's what we're going to talk about. The memory verse, Revelation 12, 1. And let's go ahead and go through that together. If you want to look at that, we'll say the reference, then the verse, and then the reference. And begin. Revelation 12, 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Revelation 12, 1. And again, Revelation 12, 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Revelation 12, 1. Father, please guide us and direct us now through thy word. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts, and certainly any decisions we need to make, I pray you would stir us up to make those decisions. I pray you'll teach us some things today. Help us, Lord, to realize that every tick of the clock, the end draws closer. The rapture becomes more and more imminent as far as it happening soon. And so I pray that you'll just stir us up about that and help us, Lord, as we study today. I pray you'll just guide and direct us into the truth of the Scripture. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We started off with number one, the history of the woman. We did talk about four symbolic women in Revelation: the suffering woman, the sinful woman, the shameless woman, and the spiritual woman. Spent a little time about that. But then we started with the history of the woman here in Revelation 12, 1, and talked about obviously this is symbolic of Israel, no question about that, and perhaps the elect in Israel, all of us, as far as those who are God's people. The history of the woman goes back to the book of Genesis, and it talks about there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And then it talks about she being with child cried, travailing in birth. And so we go from the history of the woman to the hatred for the woman. And we kind of ended with just kind of starting up on that last week, and the hatred for the woman. I think that is one of the things that just is amazing, the hatred that is becoming more and more prevalent. It starts with Satan. It is a conspiracy. It starts right there in hell with the devil, and it is a conspiracy against God's people, and precisely here the Jews, Israel, and in Revelation talking about she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered, and going on to verse 5. Verse 4b, which we'll talk about a little bit here. Just the idea that, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. We go back to Genesis, and just for review, talk about the promise that God made of enmity between thy seed and the woman's seed, talking to Satan and the curse that was put upon the serpent, and all of that took place. Spent some time talking about that. And then Satan, from that time forward, I mean, it's war. It is absolutely war. And Satan is going to do all he can to stop that. Well, he couldn't stop it, even to the place of killing all the baby boys. And he couldn't stop it. And he's not going to stop God. And we know that. And we certainly believe that and know that that is true. And so little Israel, a woman in travail, verse 2 says, she's travailing in birth. I believe that talks about all through the Old Testament time, the travail. That was a curse for the woman and women, specifically as far as the result of sin, that there would be pain. But here, figuratively, we know that, look at the history of Israel and all that took place, certainly Satan has been after them, no doubt about that. And so that brings us to Roman numeral 2, and that is the hatred for the woman. The hatred for the woman. Again, this is war. The woman is going to bring this Messiah. The woman is going to be the one, her seed is going to fight with Satan and the seed of this woman. It's going to come down that line. And so Satan's going to do everything he can to stop that. Satan is going to fight against that, even to the point, like I said, the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And again, you know, let's remember, Satan is not omniscient. He does not know everything like God knows everything. He is limited in his knowledge. Now, here's what he does know, though. He knows the Bible. It's written. It's not hidden. You know, it's not a secret. I've had people say, you know, I don't want Satan to know what I'm praying. That's where tongues has come in. You know, a lot of people want to talk about this heavenly language, talking to God, and then Satan can't know. Why wouldn't you care if Satan hears what you pray? I've never really understood that. If he hears my words as I talk to my Father, then he can hear my words. If he cannot hear my thoughts, though. He does not know what I'm thinking. He can't read minds. He can't read the mind of God, but he knows what the Bible says. And so, as you study the birth of Jesus, he had his ways of mapping all that out and trying to figure that out, just as men did in waiting for the Messiah. But all the time, he's fighting and fighting and fighting against God and against God's plan. That's why we have a great big target on us now. You know, we're part of God's plan. And we are, you know, I mean, the FAIR ministry, Vacation Bible School, soul winning, our Sunday school classes, our buses, all of that, you know, the RU program, and on. We have this big bullseye right on Berean Baptist Church. And so it's war. It's war. And so this hatred for the woman. Verse 5, she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Well, again, Satan knew that. That's in the scripture, okay? That's written. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Again, Satan could not stop the birth of Jesus Christ. And he couldn't stop that. He's not going to stop anything that is the will of God. He's not going to stop it. Now, you know, the sad thing is, we let him stop us sometimes. You know, we're on the month of service, and I couldn't help but throw that in, amen, because it's sad. It's sad that he stops us sometimes. You know, he'll make things happen and get us doing things that either not doing what we're supposed to do or just not doing anything for him, for God. And so Satan can certainly get churches to stop. But he couldn't stop the birth of Jesus. And so trials in the Old Testament, as far as Israel's concerned, obviously the result of the curse and the result of sin. But in all of history, there are, I think, two things that just keep they stand out to me. Number one is the survival of the Jews. That is an amazing thing, the survival of the Jews. Get on a map sometime, look at a map, and look at all of Israel's enemies, and literally they are surrounded by millions and millions of people that hate them. And it's not just in the Middle East, it's all over the world. I mean the Jews, the survival of the Jews is an amazing thing. That alone ought to get people's attention. That alone ought to cause an unbeliever to stop and at least think about it. I mean, the survival of the Jews. They have been through so much. And without even talking about the Holocaust, which could have easily wiped them out. And that hatred is number two. The hatred of the Jews. How do you explain people hating other people so much? And anti-Semitism is rampant, and it's more so today. If you study, for example, American history, you're going to find that America, because America, believe it or not, is founded on Christian Bible principles. No question about that. America was founded on that. And America has been a friend of the Jews all along, believing what the Scripture says. And certainly America was used in a great way for the survival of the Jews. But that's starting to change. And we're seeing it change. And it's just amazing politically some of the stuff you hear today, you need to give up this land, you need to do this, you need to do that. And anti-Semitism is, if you want to do another study on the Jews, study all the great things they've done, inventions, Nobel Prizes, etc. It's amazing. It really is. Just teeny little Israel, totally outnumbered by the rest of the world. But again, anti-Semitism. It's gone through all through the Old Testament. You know, they've been enslaved. They've been massacred. They've been starved. They've been tempted. They've been cursed. Tempted to be cursed. They've been captured. They've all these different things that have taken place over and over and over again. It really just is amazing, the hatred, the survival. And the hatred of the Jews. Now, the only comparison I can possibly make is that we also are becoming hated. We start to understand it a little bit. We also are starting to be blamed. Oh, yeah. You know, well, we're not seeing progress in America. Well, it's those right-wing nuts. That's why. That's the biggest problem that our world faces. Did you know that? It's the right-wing nuts like us. You know, these people, they're stopping progress. They don't want homosexuals to marry each other. They don't want abortion, you know, at any cost. These people are stopping our progress. And it's like we sit back and say, huh? You know, what is wrong with these people? They think that they ought to have guns. What is wrong with these people? Do you understand how we are losing these battles? And again, they're not, it doesn't look big, but it's huge. It is huge. It's like, come on, when I was a kid, every boy had a toy gun. Every boy. I had an arsenal. I mean, honestly, I had every kind of toy gun. They had one of these guns that did like 20 things. You remember those? Grenade launcher, you know, shot. Do you still have one of those? Susan has one of those? Do you really? Wow. They're probably worth, well, if you could sell it. You know, you go on eBay and all of a sudden they put a flag by your name. Oh, look at this person. They're trying to buy one of those toy guns. I'm serious. I promise you, folks, they're watching everything like that. And, you know, we can't even talk about it anymore. It's like you go to the store and you say, hey, do you have any toy guns? And people look at you like, what is wrong with you? Yeah. Hey, can we get some caps for our toy guns? We know, because Vacation Bible School, whoa, we were shooting everything in here. Amen? But we were very, very, very careful. Again, you say, well, too bad we have to. Yeah, because we're losing. These are little things that ought to be obvious to us. And it's going to be like, you know, hey, that church, they had a Vacation Bible School with guns. Yeah, I wonder what they're up to. Yeah, wonder how many of them have real guns. Oh, I don't know how many. No. But you mean during a service or no? But, you know, honestly, it is just, this is right here is the problem, you know? And every next generation is getting farther and farther and farther away from the truth. And the farther away from the truth we get, the more those that believe the truth look like fruitcakes. But we're not fruitcakes. We believe the truth. Amen. And and to us, it makes sense. But understand, to them, it makes sense that we are the problem. That's what's happened with Israel. You know, Satan has for years, has spewed out garbage about Israel. And people have believed it, and this hatred, it's gonna, again, how can it possibly be the things that nobody can explain the Holocaust? How do you explain that? Come on, seriously. How in the world do you say, yeah, you know, it's just anti-religion. No, it wasn't anti-religion, because religion was in on it. Against Israel.
Amen. That's right.
Catholicism was in on it just as much as the most out of hell worldly person. That's proven. By the way, you won't find that in your public school textbooks.
Right.
You're not going to find that there. Hello. Trust me on that. In fact, I'm not even sure if they talk about the Holocaust anymore. In the school, because, you know, well, it's not important. Again, it's that same idea, you know, anti-Semitism. Well, anyway, I got to move on. I can't preach now. I got to teach. Isaiah 54, look at it. Of course, every teaching is also preaching. Isaiah 54, verse 6, it says, "For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee." God's people, I mean, they have gone through the fire. No doubt about that. They have gone through the fire, the slaughter of the innocent children under Herod. Satan absolutely hates God's people. Whether it's Israel, whether it's us, I mean, whoever is again, Israel to bring forth the Messiah and to be the place where the Messiah would die on Calvary, the whole sacrificial system and the fulfillment of Jesus Christ dying on the cross. I mean, Satan has hated that and still hates that, I believe, with all my heart. And but again, he hates all of the elect, all of God's people, absolutely hates. Let's just kind of think about that for a minute and consider that. Of course, we know God's promise to the Jews. We've talked about that. Let's go back to Genesis 12, just real quick, again, as a reminder, because there are people today that are saying all kinds of unique things, even, sad to say, a lot of Christians, but a lot of Christians are doing wacky stuff in many other ways, too. Genesis chapter 12, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation." Okay, that's God's promise to Abraham, to the Jews, to Israel. "I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Who to? Well, verse 3, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Okay, there's no way to twist that, is there? Is there any way that we can somehow twist that, change that, whatever? Okay, God has said clearly, "I'm going to bless those who bless thee. I'm going to curse those who curse thee." You can't twist that. We need to stay with Israel. Okay? That's Bible. That is what the Bible says. We need to be pro-Israel. That's automatic. By the way, the U.S. has been, and God has blessed us. And the only reason the U.S. has been is because we initially were a Bible-based country. No matter what everybody says, no matter what the textbooks say, this country was founded on Bible truth and Bible principle. And our leaders were Christians. Most of them were Christians, sold out, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Christians, whether they were Baptist or not. Back in those days, you could say Christian and everybody knew what you were talking about. They believed God and trusted God and prayed. And you're not going to, you know, true history, again, truth. Okay, truth. Just because so-and-so said it, and just because Facebook put it out there, just because the newspaper printed it, that doesn't mean it's truth. Let's go back and look at the truth. We need to be pro-Israel, okay? I don't care what anybody else says. We need to be pro-Israel. It is, if you believe the Bible, their land is their land. Okay, it doesn't belong to Ishmael. Belongs to Isaac. And we should have absolutely no support for taking, deporting, whatever, the Jews from one square inch of their land. Okay, it's their land. God set the boundaries. I don't have time to go through it all. The book of Genesis 13, or chapter 13, chapter 15, chapter 17, talks about all that. It is theirs. And, you know, it breaks our heart. It should, as Bible believers, when our own country starts getting shaky on all those things. And it's getting really shaky. God has blessed us as we have supported Israel. That's all God's promise. But now, you know, so why would Satan be out to destroy the U.S.? Well, right there, isn't that enough? Isn't that enough to see why he would do all he could and do everything he could to destroy the United States of America? He absolutely hates God's people. And history shows that. Let me just read some history to you about Israel. Of course, we have the Bible stories, many of them, but some things you won't find in the textbooks today. Christianity became officially recognized under Emperor Constantine. Now, that Christianity is Catholicism, all right? That is not a Christianity like we know and what we believe. As a result, theology was woven into government and the synagogue came under its control. Justinian abolished Jewish religious and civil rights in the 7th century. Byzantine Emperor Heraclius began the first of the forced baptisms of the Jews, which was to be repeated in many places in the centuries to come. Again, just the start. So here's Catholicism telling the Jews, you're wrong, we're right, and you got to do it our way, and forcing these things on them. By the way, that's another thing. Not only is the Holocaust not mentioned in many history books, but the Inquisition's not mentioned either. What's that? That's Catholicism forcing people, the Crusades, you know, Catholicism forcing people to believe what they believe. Now, guy on the street, because of spin, news, talk, other stuff, average guy on the street thinks we're like them. So anything they might hear negative about the Crusades and all of that and the Inquisition and all those kind of things, they associate us in that as well. That's not us. We've never forced anybody to get saved, except Al Moran one year. He put a guy in a headlock. No, that didn't really happen. But it never happens. We give an invitation. Y'all come. That's it. We don't have people at the back with guns. You will come. You will get baptized. Okay? It's always been whosoever will. We preach that. We teach that. But again, I get in more trouble because anyway, the Crusades resulted in the murder of approximately a quarter to one-third of the entire Jewish population in Germany and northern France. Crusaders singing, "Christ, we adore thee," held their crosses aloft while burning 969 Jews to death who had locked themselves in the main synagogue in Jerusalem. There you go. That's a wonderful soul-winning program. Okay, you'll either believe Christ or we're going to burn you. Now, you know, again, we have never said that's our method of soul winning. We've never practiced it. It has not happened, I promise. Okay, that's not what the fair tent's all about. Well, I saw the walls were down. Nobody can see in there. We're not crucifying people. Okay, we're not burning anybody up. There's no ovens in there. Okay, we're just giving them the gospel like we always have. Amen. But the Crusaders, the Catholics, they believed they were avenging the death of Christ. It has been reported that as they ran over the mutilated bodies of those slaughtered, their leader quoted Psalm 118, verse 24, "This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." That's, you know, blaming the Jews, going after the Jews. In the name of Jesus. Over the centuries, the Jews have been made the scapegoat for numerous things. One pope blamed them for a hurricane and an earthquake. When the Black Death broke out in Europe, the Jews were held responsible, allegedly having poisoned water wells. The result, over 200 Jewish communities throughout Europe were destroyed, more than 10,000 killed in three German towns alone. Thousands others were killed because of fabrications accusing them of killing Christian children before Easter for ritual purposes. There is nothing in Jewish law that says to do that. Jews were claimed to have desecrated the sacred elements in Holy Communion. Can you imagine we're having the Lord's Supper and the Lord's Supper table's there and some Jewish person comes and takes one of our little things of grape juice and holds that out and maybe walks and pours it down the toilet or something like that and how could you do such a thing? And so we hang him out back. Oh, yeah, but that's the blood. No, it's grape juice. It's grape juice in a plastic cup. Because we don't want to pass the big mug, right? Do you know why we don't want to pass the big mug? Backwash. Best way I can explain it. Anyway, have you ever thought about that? Because right after eating the bread, and then you... It's gross, isn't it? Yeah, it's terrible. Anyway, I don't even have any idea where I was. But these fabrications, these lies, all of these things. Okay, here, in Prague in 1389, Jewish children accidentally sprayed a priest who was carrying a wafer host with sand, resulting in the massacre of 3,000 Jews. It's like just one thing, one spark. How can there be so much hatred? See, you know, one thing takes place. Jews were made to wear distinctive dress with a distinctive mark imposed on their clothing as early as 1215 in many countries. In other words, they had to identify themselves as Jews. These badges of shame, made infamous in Nazi Germany, marked them as social outcasts, subjecting them to physical and verbal abuse. They identified themselves so people could mock them and make fun of them. Ushers, I need you to come if you would so we can collect the offering. Just go ahead and do that. I'm going to keep going. Forced baptism of the Jews was common throughout the centuries. Some 50,000 Jews died in a riot in 1391, instigated by an archdeacon's preaching. Many of the Jews who were baptized forcibly continued to practice their formal faith secretly. They were called Maranos, meaning swine. Jews have been expelled by almost every country they've resided in. Can you imagine? Hear that about any other nation. You don't. You don't. Hear that about any other people. You don't. Ferdinand and Isabella expelled all Jews from Spain in 1492 to consolidate their Christian realm. That is just unbelievable. Nearly 300,000 fled to Portugal, where they were permitted to stay enslaved, later to be freed, but brutally and forcibly baptized. That kind of baptized. Jewish suffering was considered entertainment at pre-Lenten carnivals. In medieval Rome, the weakest member of the Jewish community would be thrust naked into a nail-spiked barrel and rolled down the hill to his death, his fellow Jews forced to watch his martyrdom. On other occasions, Jews were made to run naked through the streets of the carnival in the icy cold and rain to be pelted by the crowds with mud. Sadly, even the great reformer Martin Luther, in the tract concerning the Jews and their lies, wrote, "Firstly, their synagogues should be set on fire. Secondly, their homes should be likewise be broken down and destroyed. Thirdly, they should be deprived of their prayer books and Talmuds. Fourthly, their rabbis must be forbidden under threat of death to teach anymore. Fifthly, passport and traveling privileges should be absolutely forbidden to the Jews. Sixthly, they ought to be stopped from usury. Seventhly, let the young and strong Jews and Jewesses be given the flail, the axe, the hoe, the spade, the distaff, the spindle, and let them earn their bread by the sweat of their noses. We ought to drive the rascally, lazy bones out of our system. Therefore, away with them." In a sermon later given, Luther called for the immediate expulsion of all Jews from Germany. Luther's anti-Semitic teachings were applied literally in the Third Reich. And again, you know, Martin Luther, a lot of positive things, but the thinking, that thinking, it just passed on. How does that happen? I mean, honestly, percentage-wise, population-wise, percentage, Jews, Muslims, Jews, anybody else, Israel, other countries. I mean, come on. Why does anybody even care? Why is history so full of Israel? Why is history so full of their suffering? In 1819, one German pamphleteer proposes massacres, castrations, and consignment of Jewesses to prostitution. In Russia, Nicholas I forced Jewish youths, beginning at age 12, to serve in the military for as much as 25 years. Russia's first major pogrom, from Webster, an organized massacre of helpless people, specifically such a massacre of Jews, started at Easter 1881. This effort to solve the Jewish problem resulted in mass immigrations and death for countless Jews. Tsar Nicholas II regarded the Jews as Christ killers. So because the Jews killed Jesus, we're going to kill all of them. Nazi Germany, Hitler claimed he was only doing the work of the Catholic Church. Following a model established hundreds of years previously, the Nazis reprinted Martin Luther's anti-Semitic writings. Kristallnacht, the night of the burning of the synagogues in Germany, was chosen in honor of Luther's birthday. Individual Christians attempted to stop the extermination of the Jews. The church generally did not. A papal ambassador, when asked to intervene, replied, "There is no innocent blood of Jewish children in the world. All Jewish blood is guilty. You have to die. This is the punishment that's been awaiting you because of that sin." Governments allowed a few Jews to escape, or allowed few Jews to escape the horror of Holocaust. Canada and America would not change their strict immigration policies. A refugee turned away by the British was subsequently torpedoed, and all but one of the 769 Jews on board perished. The world's apathy moved Nazi informers to report to Hitler, "You can do what you like with the Jews. Nobody wants them." World War II, 6 million Jews died in death camps. Think about 6 million. And why? Why such hatred? I'm telling you, it's all that conspiracy, and it all goes back to Satan. It all goes back to Satan. We should not be, nothing should surprise us as to how that hatred will continue toward us as the saved, as God's people. We are carrying forth, and I'll talk about this just a little bit more next week, but you know, why is there such a target on our backs? You know, why is that? Well, and seriously, why are so many going away from the truth? Why is that? Why is the truth being ignored today, as far as the Jews are concerned, and as far as Christianity is concerned? Why is the churches, why are they silent? Why won't somebody speak up? It's like you speak up today for the unborn, and you know, people look at you like, "Come on, that's old stuff. Are you nuts or what?" You speak up against homosexuality, and you're almost right. We are at the day where that's hate speech. People are going to, I mean, there's going to be fines, there's going to be jail. You're looked at differently, okay? You can kill a non-homosexual, which I don't think you ought to do. But that's one kind of killing. But then if you kill a homosexual, hate. It's a whole different kind of killing. Somehow it's worse. Everything's worse because you hate them. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Why? The only reason I say all of this is we have to stop and we have to say why. Because the dragon hates the woman. And this is war. It is war. I'm constantly amazed at Christians who you know, they don't want to recognize that we are at war. And it's like party time. Well, praise the Lord, I have as good a fun as anybody does, but I know it's war. It is war.